This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. We're talking about the changing war on drugs today, and this war has been accompanied by many rallying cries and slogans. Just say no. This is your brain on drugs. We asked you which anti-drug messages you remember the most, and to record those recollections and email them to us, here's Bill Bender of Philadelphia.
Hey, Maiken. The one anti-drug ad that I remember most from my childhood in, I guess it was the mid-80s, late 80s, other than the eggs in the frying pan one, was the ad where the kid is laying on his bed rocking out and air drumming, and he has his headphones on, and the dad walks in. The dad's like, you know, where did you get this? You know, who taught you how to use this? And the kid's like, but dad, and he's fine. I learned it from watching you.
I remember that one, Bill. And then I remember the one where the girl smashes up her whole kitchen. I think that was the sequel to the egg in the frying pan one. But I never learned any songs related to drug use.
Hi, my name is Addie Weirich, and I'm recording this in my dorm room at NYU in New York City. So as far as drug campaigns go, there's one very specific one that was drilled into our heads when I was a middle schooler. There was a song. D, I won't do drugs. A, won't have an attitude. R, I will respect myself. E, I will educate me now. And it was just weird. We always just thought the grammar on I will educate me now was weird because it was talking about education. But we were using poor grammar.
Still pretty early in the morning for a college student. Addie also said that some of her peers wore their DARE shirts ironically while smoking cigarettes or pot. And that sometimes happens. A public service announcement turns into a joke or a meme. So how do you find the right button to push to get kids to think differently? Tanya English reports.
Tell them you need to pee or tell them you can't because you'll get in trouble with your coach. Any excuse will do. If someone offers you drugs, John Hampton says that's the one time you have permission to lie.
You don't have to be mad. You don't have to ask them, what is it? You don't have to ask them, why are you asking me this? I'm gonna tell your mom or none of that stuff. Tell them you'll be right back and walk away.
Hampton is a community educator in Delaware and travels the state talking to kids. At an after-school assembly in Wilmington, his audience is 9, 10, and 11-year-olds. He tells them that taking drugs is like pulling from a deck of cards. An overdose is a king or a queen.
But if you get lucky and pull a couple twos messing with drugs, what happens is you start thinking you're bulletproof and nothing's going to happen. That's what gets a lot of people in trouble. They get lucky a couple times.
So he teaches the students 10 different ways to say no the first time. Hampton plays the role of a friend or a drug dealer.
Y'all want some drugs?
No!
And the kids take turns practicing their refusal skills. A 9-year-old wearing glasses and a pink and purple bracelet comes up with some of the most creative answers for peer pressure.
I'm Asiah DeWitt. I'm in fourth grade at Claymont Elementary School.
First, she blames her parents.
No, actually, my mom just texted me I have to go help her with my sister.
Then Asiah says she's got to be somewhere.
I have to go practice my dance routine.
Tens of millions of state and federal drug prevention dollars are invested in school and community programs like this one.
If you don't remember nothing else, remember the funny-looking bald-headed guy with the gray in his beard, and he kept walking away. Do that.
Kids get basic information and practice decision-making. Sitting in the back of the room with my jaded adult self, though, John Hampton's approach seems preachy.
I want y'all to say, I refuse
to be
average.
Average.
Say it again, I.
And the inspirational rap song that Hampton sings seems a little too corny for kids who listen to hip-hop artist Fetty Wap.
So you guys ready? You gonna help us out?
But I'm wrong. They're excited, and Asiah says she's learning.
That alcohol can make you, like, dehydrated because it's a liquid. I thought it would just, like, make you drunk.
But even just a year from now, these 9 and 10-year-olds may be bored by all this. As children get older, marketing experts say the educators have to change up their tactics. The latest national anti-drug media campaign doesn't include a lot of drug facts or a long list of awful things that can happen if you smoke or drink. In one commercial, you see groups of teenagers at home or at a party. A big, omnipotent hand sweeps in and nudges one of the kids to take a prescription bottle from the medicine cabinet.
Just go do it. Go do it.
Or in another scene, to sip beer from a red plastic cup. And each time that happens, one of the teens pushes back.
If you're not in control, then who is? Live above the influence.
The campaign began back in 2005, and the White House says youth exposed to these above-the-influence messages are less likely to start using marijuana. But sometimes prevention efforts don't work, or worse, they can make kids more curious about drugs. The federal government spent about $1 billion on an older campaign called the Anti-Drug. It was widely considered a failure. Some research suggests that the ads made drug use seem familiar and acceptable.
I don't know why she's tripping. It was only weed. I only tried it once.
You're grounded. That means no phone.
Mom, come on.
Advertising executive Mike Sukel says when it comes to anti-drug and alcohol messages, adolescents and younger teens are more receptive than older teens who've already made up their mind.
The sweet spot was that 12 to 15-year-old.
Sukel Advertising was hired to steer teens away from weed in Colorado. But recreational marijuana is legal for adults in that state, which complicates the prevention message. In Colorado, they decided to tell teens about studies that found that marijuana hurts developing brains. The campaign also fessed up that the research is preliminary, and even the scientists don't know for sure.
And then, you know, asks them, do you want to be a lab rat? Do you want to be, the generation that will prove or disprove this study? And leaves the decision up to them.
Reaching teens on social media like Snapchat and Twitter works. But Sukel says it's almost more important to engage kids by giving them things to interact with and do. The marketing team set up human-sized lab rat cages near a skate park and a library in Denver, then waited for the kids to get curious. In Montana, one anti-meth campaign used scare tactics. The commercials show skinny meth users with rotting teeth. There are uncomfortable scenes of prostitution, domestic violence, burglary, and this one with two sisters.
Hey guys, you can do anything you want to me for $50.
Well, what about her?
Sure.
Kathleen Kelly is a professor of marketing at Colorado State University. She says fear tactics work, but the results don't last long. So around prom season, some high schools stage dramatic demonstrations with crashed cars and bleeding, banged-up students to show what can happen if you drive under the influence.
These young people file out of auditoriums and say, I'm never going to do that.
Kelly's expertise is social marketing.
Instead of trying to sell you hamburgers or lip gloss, for example, I use the tools of marketing and I try to unsell or influence certain behaviors.
Scare tactics work for drugs like meth, cocaine, and heroin. But Kelly says fear is not effective for more commonly used drugs like marijuana. 23-year-old Tim Raybolt says when he was in high school, students were told not to drink and drive, and his teachers made the hard stuff sound scary.
That seemed terrifying to do, but everything else seemed perfectly okay. And then there was nothing about prescription pills. So that's like what took off in high school, is that everyone was using pills because they're prescribed by a doctor, so they must be okay. It was kind of the thinking behind that.
Kids would crush up study drugs to pull an all-nighter or lose weight. Raybolt is clean and sober now, but says he and lots of his high school classmates mix medicine and alcohol to party on the weekends.
I honestly think it's just a waste of resources to try and get students and young people to never try drugs. Like, I just don't think that's realistic.
Everybody's doing it. You hear that all the... Oh, really? Everybody's doing it.
Lisa Graham is a prevention educator and says she's not going to stop telling kids to avoid drugs. But she says prevention messages have come a long way since First Lady Nancy Reagan told us all to just say no.
Now it has to be more of a conversation. You can't just preach to the kids and tell them, no, don't do this. You have to be able to explain why they shouldn't do this and, what happens if I do this.
Over the years, working together with health researchers, marketers have modified their message for different populations.
My teacher tells us to just say no.
This ad was designed for inner city kids and to fight the stereotype that poor kids are okay with drugs in their neighborhood.
Because the dealers are scared of police, but they're not scared of me, and they don't take no for an answer.
To Kevin Scott and all the other kids who take the long way home, we hear you. Don't give up.
Health researchers say it's normal for teens to test limits. They're supposed to challenge what adults tell them to do. So given that, today anti-drug campaigns acknowledge that young people want autonomy and that they have independent goals.
The best way to avoid becoming addicted or abusing drugs is not to use them at all.
Back at the after-school program in Wilmington, Delaware, you can hear the adults reinforcing that message.
Ready? You're created for greatness. You are created for greatness. You are created for greatness.
For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.
Did you like this story? Subscribe to our podcast. It's on iTunes.